Yay.
No, I'm just trying. I'm just trying to. Yeah. I need to put it in a bit of effort.
Mm. Like when we saw Sam Fender and you were just dancing, because otherwise you would die.
It is like that. Yeah.
I was done in by that point.
And that's why we're just not going to stop. We're just going to keep going. Okay, here's the intro. Robo wants an Oreo. Welcome to the Sunday Movie Marathon, episode 135, Cowboy Bebop episode. I'm Max, this is Chris, and this is Darcy. We are going to do a little podcast called the Sunday Movie Marathon. And here we are. How the fuck are we?
What just happened?
This is what the podcast has become. Yeah, see, you got to keep going.
Just got to keep going.
If you think about it for too long, you can't speak.
You spiral.
Words are gone. Yeah, we're spiraling.
Things start happening to your mind. Bad mind things.
Yeah. But yeah, I think we're okay. We only recorded an episode 2 days ago.
It's fucked.
And when we did that episode, nothing had changed since the last episode. So.
Anything's changed. I'm not saying that anything's the same. This is just, it's very weird to be doing this, because it's the one after, but it's also the one before. It's one of those before/after ones.
Yeah, it's broken the concept of time.
Yeah, so we're all
scheduling.
Yeah. We're all doing either better or worse than the one that's coming out in 2 weeks. Who knows?
Who knows?
I'll tell you who's doing better though. All those actors that just got their SAG after a strike cancelled because they all got what they wanted or whatever.
Which is what they deserve.
Congratulations, babies. Mm. You get to go back to work. Oh, the rest of us scumbags.
Woo! That's what we like.
They got a bunch of stuff. Mm. They got streaming bonuses. They got minimum compensation increases, which is lovely. Disclosure of viewership stats, which we all want to fucking know.
Yeah, what's any of that even?
Netflix has been hoarding their viewership stats from everyone and all.
Ooh.
In sundry. Now we get to know.
Good for them.
Everyone really truly watching Stranger Things?
No. Well, actually, they probably are watching that.
Limits to artificial intelligence. Whoa, what does this mean? I'm going to read this one.
Yeah, I knew that was a big thing that they were striking for.
What? So people couldn't use images of them when they die?
This is all
essentially,
film and TV producers must obtain consent from actors to create and use their digital replicas, as well as specify how they intend to use that digital likeness. Actors are entitled to compensation at their usual rate for the number of days they would otherwise have been paid for to do the work being performed by a digital replica. If only they could have told Carrie Fisher that before she kicked the bucket.
Yeah.
But you know who's going to take full advantage of that is Bruce Willis. Doing all his fucking Chinese adverts or whatever he does now.
Been in a lot of controversy recently that I saw, I think on Twitter, of Disney being caught out using like an AI generated person in the background who like auditioned for the movie and didn't even get a role.
Oh my god. Yeah. You see that they did like a movie and it got on straight onto Disney Plus and then like somebody screenshotted the or like they did like a little clip of it. And they were like background. I sent this to you, and they were like background characters. Were like so clearly just generated on a computer.
Yeah.
It looked disgusting. Oh god, brilliant! Minimum number of background actors. New labor contract requires an increased number of background actors to be hired on union terms. Brilliant. Something about New York. Thank you very much. New York is
a place.
It's going. It's
place.
It's going up there. I feel like it's big things are about to happen in New York.
Isn't it always? It's pretty much always New York.
But now it's more New York.
More.
Even more New York. Thank you very much.
If we needed more.
Saying after strikes. Yeah.
Well, it is the city so nice they named it twice, so I'd say we needed more.
Well, okay. What does that mean?
New York.
Yeah, it's because they say New York, New York.
They say it, do they?
Yeah.
Well, it's in that movie.
Who is they? Who said it?
It's in that song.
Yeah, what's that movie?
New York, New York.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a town. Is that it?
that's what I was thinking of.
But it's not so nice. They named it twice. It's just called New York. It's just like, so nice. It's like new. It's like our York, but like better and new.
Mm.
Except it's probably so much fucking worse than our York.
Yeah.
York shits over there, New York.
I mean, I York saw is Mary pretty nice if you're white.
Yeah. All good things to those who white.
There's a song by a hardcore punk band called Fear that's called New York is All Right if you like saxophones.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that probably is true. Yeah, I've never been, so I don't know.
I saw Soul. They had saxophone in that, and he was
that
in New York or whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that. He was like, all I want is to be a saxophone player. And, he, and then he kicks the bucket. Cool.
He like fall down a manhole or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sick there.
What a movie.
Yeah.
It's down a soul hole.
Pay the toll.
That is a good movie that I never watched again.
Nah, me neither.
That's one of their better ones, though, I think, yeah. In recent memory.
What, Soul?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So what else on that SAG-AFTRA thing, or is that everything?
I think that was it, yeah. I'll Google it again. That was on the Yahoo thing. Let's just Google SAG-AFTRA strike. See just what sort of comes up. News. Oh, it's got like a... Oh, wait. So like... Instantly, it comes up with 2023 SAG-AFTRA strike, 14th of July 2023 to 9th of November 2023.
That's mad.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, it's felt long.
Yep.
God.
Awesome.
I've seen a lot of like industry professionals are blaming like the failure of the Marvels on the fact that they couldn't promote it. Like the actors couldn't do talk shows and stuff like that. There was like no.
No, I'll tell
experience.
You why. Because
and yeah,
Marvel
everything else is doing
steam.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool, great.
Yeah, absolute delusions from those people, in my opinion.
I've got a Deadline article here. I'm not going to read all of it because that would be insane. We got, nobody gets everything they want in any deal. But this is a good deal, a fair deal, and both a big step in the right direction for an insurance policy than a contract. A guild source told Deadline with a tentative agreement. Brilliant. To that end, now that 86% of the national board approved the deal November 10th and expanded bullet points of the deal were dropped, SAG-AFTRA leaders like Guild President Fran Drescher and Chief Negotiator Duncan Crabtree Ireland will start meeting with members to pitch the deal. It's a great name. And answer questions ahead of scheduled start of ratification voting Tuesday. It's not doing it in like a sort of... like list type format, which I'm much more accustomed to. Oh dear.
Yeah, everyone loves a little bullet point. Yeah. Like,
either way, it's
concise
good.
List.
Good.
Please.
Here we go. Okay. No. Is this it? What the fuck is this?
Mm-hmm.
AI. Okay. Additionally, while replicating many of the ADR rules already in place, the graphic explanation of the new AI guardrails the guild also released tonight bring up a lot of questions in what it leaves out of what is in the deal, even as they provide answers. I hope this is as riveting to you guys as it is.
I don't think we need this.
No, don't need to read that.
No, we don't
need,
we don't need this.
Regulating artificial intelligence, yeah, a lot of that shit. Oh, here we go. Okay, one, scope term wages, the following terms describe the tentative... No, I'm not going to read that. I don't give a fuck. artificial intelligence, yeah, they've fucking pounded that into the ground. Oh, Jesus Christ, this is boring.
I can't even...
I don't know, whatever.
We know what's happening.
All's good.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy. You watch the Instagram reels, you know that they're happy.
Yeah.
Okay. You see them with their plaques and they throw their plaques on the ground and break them apart and they're like, woo, I'm happy now. Good. Well done. Congratulations. More movies, more cinema, more fair pay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. Fair wages and all that.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Well.
Mostly everyone's a winner.
Yeah. The studios last say.
Yeah, but they can just suck it up, really.
Yeah, of course.
They can suck a cock, really, can't they? Because, like, come on.
They own it, so they may as well just get on with it.
Did you see the CEO of Disney came out a couple of days ago basically crying that their most recent movies have been failures?
That's funny.
I bet he's not used to that, though. Like, if you think about it, if you were the CEO of Disney, you'd be like, oh my God, what is happening?
Well, I think it's Bob Iger who was the CEO through, like, some of the most successful times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now he's the CEO for some of the worst times.
Yeah, it was the
worst of times.
It was the worst. Right, I need to stop doing this. Everything is a Simpsons reference.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, if you want people to see your movies, make good movies. I don't know.
Yeah, just we were talking about this earlier.
Disney.
Yeah, just make less of
them. If it's a good fucking movie, people are going to go, oh, that was finally a good Disney movie. Let's go and see it.
Same with Pixar as well. I feel like Pixar have been putting out a lot of flops recently.
Yeah, just less.
Whatever
they're
better.
Let's
forget what they're doing.
Oh,
Inside
whatever,
Out 2.
That
Elemental.
Could be good.
Outside In. Oh, Elemental.
Inside,
that
was
that came and went.
Yeah.
No one fucking saw that. You said that to me like the other day. I was like, oh, look at this. A Murder at the End of the World is now on Disney+. I can't wait for that. Mm-hmm. The guys who did the OA. And you're like, wouldn't you rather watch Elemental? And I was like, what is that? I completely forgot about
that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I sensed the harrowing irony. And I was like, oh, who's watching this?
I'll probably watch it literally just because I'm like a Pixar completionist. Have to watch everything they do.
No, I don't care.
No.
Stop caring. When they've made, they stop making good movies, so I stop caring.
Yeah.
I don't know what last one I watched was. Like, the most recent. Probably, like, Coco, wasn't
it? No, Turning Red.
Coco was fucking ages ago. Yeah, Turning Red.
I like that, though.
I think that and the Italy one, they're the two most recent.
Luca. Yeah, the Italy one, yeah.
Luca, yeah, it was one of those, though, isn't it? Pretty, but nothing going on.
Yeah, I liked Turning Red,
Yeah, Turning Red was all right. Although I still think about that iconic video from Mr. McKenter about how it makes no sense because...
don't reference 9/11, yeah.
It is honestly my favourite video on the internet. The audacity that man had to leave it up as well is brilliant.
That's funny.
Oh, it's gold. It is golden.
Okay, do we want to talk about some new movies?
Yeah, let's do it.
What do we want to talk about first?
I don't know, what have we seen?
Killers of the Flower Moon and Bottoms.
Yeah, do we want to do Killers of the Flower Moon first?
Sure. Yeah, I feel like you guys are going to talk about that for years, so...
I'm not.
Nah.
Okay.
I'm going to be very brief about it.
I have no notes.
I saw it a while ago.
A little while ago? It was only like last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually quite a long time. Ignore.
We went to see the new Scorsese movie, Killers of the Flower Moon, and it was very good. So I think I'll give this one.
That's it. That's the whole thing.
It's 3.5 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
It moves at such a rate where I think some people are going to be like, "Ooh," and some people are going to be like, "Oh God." And I know that because a lot of people in the theater that we were at, Chris, they were like, "Oh God."
The people in front, they were on Letterboxd for half the movie.
Chris did tell me about these people and I was like, I know that I'm quite insufferable when a movie's really long, but at least I'm not on Letterboxd going, God, this movie is like the worst movie I've ever seen, and then rate it halfway through the movie. I'm not that person.
It's like, it is very long, but it...
Mm. Does it need
to
be?
It's like a... debatable.
I'd say so.
But...
Okay.
His last one was The Irishman.
Mm.
That's like almost just as long. If not longer. That was fucking boring. It wasn't, but it was good. It was just like, I felt like, because I watched that on Netflix at home.
Oh.
It was just like,
did you watch it on
your own? I could be doing fucking anything else other than watching this movie. But when I'm in a cinema, I'm like, I'm here to watch this movie.
Yeah, I watched it in the cinema. It was like one of the best experiences I've ever had watching a movie.
Yeah, I that's why I don't watch movies on my own in the flat very often.
I think every time
I've
watched it since then, I've probably enjoyed it so much just because I was so nostalgic for that experience seeing it in the cinema.
Mm. No, I watched that movie and I never thought about it again. I will never watch that movie again. I'd have no wish to.
Yeah, I wanted to pick it for the podcast as a free for all, but I know you guys would kill me because it's too long.
That would suck so hard.
I just would have no idea. I'd probably just point blank refuse to watch it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I got the time or the patience to be dealing with that. In one sitting as well, yeah.
We did like one recently that was like only 4.5 hours and like towards the end of that I was like, I'm losing my mind a bit. No, they were good movies.
But it happens though. It's just...
That marathon was almost the length of Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it? That's actually mad.
And we did that marathon and then we went to see Killers of the Flower Moon. I was like, I almost said no. I said to Chris before we left, I almost don't want to see this.
I was the same.
I'm so glad it wasn't me.
Yeah, you fucked off. You bounced immediately.
I was very happy to do so. There is no world in which I could sit for like a string of nearly 8 hours and just, nah.
It's about the Osage Indian tribe in Osage County. They come across like oil in the ground. They dig up oil and they're like, oh man, we're rich. And then the white man comes in. He's like, what if I were rich though? And it's all about Leonardo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro being like, what if we marry into this family? And then we get their oil money.
Okay.
And then those wives die in mysterious ways.
Mm. And it's like, yeah, it's just like this string of deaths in this family.
Mm-hmm.
I found it to be like really interesting, and I read up a little bit about the stuff that happened with it.
Isn't it supposed to be not real, but like loosely based?
Yeah.
I heard
based on the book.
Yeah, which is based on the true story.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I found a lot of it to be very harrowing and a lot really disturbing. And I know it's getting like a lot of critical acclaim. I know people fucking love this movie. I do sort of want to be like, yeah, but what about this? But then I watched it and I was like, no, it is good though, isn't it? It's like really great. It's just like, it's so horrible and uncomfortable, and the stuff that's happening in here is like, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And these people that you're following, and like the main guy is fucking Leonardo DiCaprio, this white guy. I mean, if I had like one criticism against the movie, I don't even think it's a criticism, is that I don't know if it should have focused on him, but I would have rather it focused on Lily Gladstone and what she was doing. But I guess this is what they wanted to go for, so I'm not really going to knock it for that. Although there is something in my mind was like, well, what if that was the movie we got? But it wasn't. And for what we got, I think it's very well done. It's just like, it's like, it's 3.5 hours of like pure upset, and like really just like dour shit happening to like just like this minority of people. Mm-hmm. And I think they handle it all really well, and they make you feel horrible while you're watching it, just watching these absolute villains, these evil people do what they did, and they did do it, and it is horrible.
Oh, that must make it worse. Yeah.
I think that is what makes it so harrowing and disturbing, is that you know all of this stuff that happens is like stuff that actually did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's easy to watch something and be like, oh, at least it wasn't real, and then you kind of get on with your day.
But it is real, and they don't try to hide that at all. They use the people's names, they use everything.
They do that thing at like, you know, in true story films where they like put photos up of like the people at the end or anything.
No, they didn't do that.
Okay.
I don't think they needed to.
No, probably not.
No,
but
I think that would have taken away a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I've always noticed that's a theme of those sort of movies though, where they do that. A bit cheesy though.
Yeah. I like a story that sort of tackles like colonialism or like the oppression of like these minority groups where like the although I think sometimes it can be overdone, I don't think it was overdone in this. It's like a story that he wanted to tell, and I appreciate that. It felt very different for a Scorsese movie.
Yeah.
Where I'm very used to like The Irishman or like the Goodfellas of it. It's quite a straight narrative. In that, I suppose you could argue that with such a straight narrative, it doesn't need to be 3.5 hours long, but there's just so much that happens that I feel like it ekes it out, and like the suffering in it is like so much so that you can't condense this into like anything significantly shorter, I don't think. And I wouldn't really want it to be, because I got out of this and I was like, I'm exhausted. Horrifically exhausted. And that's how I like my movies.
Horrifically exhausting.
I don't think it wastes a single second, though. There's nothing you can cut from that movie. And I think I'm pretty sure I heard that there was originally like a 6-hour cut or something. Bloody and this is like as short as they could possibly get it.
That is mad.
Yeah. I'm all about cutting movies down to like literally all they need to be. And especially like nowadays when everything has to be at least 2 hours long. It's like, you know, respect my time a little bit, but with this, it's it is justified, I think, and it's never a dull moment either. It's always going, and it's always making you feel horrible about like everything that's happening. I think it was just nice to be able to watch a movie like this in the cinema. It's just like one of the only Scorsese's I've seen in the cinema. We saw Raging Bull earlier this year, I think.
Yeah.
Other than that, there was this
Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver. I did. Yeah.
Separately.
Yeah. This is it's not one I feel like I can go back to very soon because it's so long and like very emotionally taxing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just but it does what it does, and I think it's like a lot of people are connecting with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to see that, and especially as it's like such an interesting and dark story. But you know, I think Scorsese movies are always going to do pretty fucking well in the end, you know,
because he's one of the greats. He like almost never misses.
He's one of the guys.
Yeah. I kind of felt like, in terms of kind of how it felt, like how it ran, it reminded me a lot of his like big crime epics, like Casino or The Irishman or Wolf of Wall Street, just in how it's like spends this time with these characters and like really develops them and tries to show like every single aspect of the story. Yeah. It just feels very grand and epic.
These white guys, they are sort of part of a mafia in itself, and I think he does well with that. He makes your Robert De Niro and Leonardo DiCaprio just like disgusting characters. I think they both do so fucking well. And it's not, I don't think it's anything I'm like too familiar with DiCaprio doing. I think he usually plays quite like a good guy, but with this, it's like he's playing a sort of a good guy, but also you know what he's doing, and it's like horrendous what he's doing. So it makes you like oh, what the fuck, like the whole time. And
it's horrible.
It's disgusting stuff that's going on. I don't really want to spoil too much of it.
I don't know if I'd say this is a performance like any other Leonardo DiCaprio movie. It's just so complex. There is so much to this character where a lot of the time you are kind of questioning whether he is good or bad. You kind of question
whether he loves his wife or whether he just wants the money or whatever.
Yeah, you just never really know.
Yeah. There is loyalty to De Niro or not. Yeah, that was a good back and forth, I think. Although they do, I don't think there's like too much ambiguity about it. And there's always this sort of seedy undertone to both of these characters. But I think they pull it off very, very well. It's like such a terrific performance from DiCaprio, probably more so than De Niro, as he's not in the movie as much. But I think the one who stood out the most was Lily Gladstone.
Yes.
Maybe that's why I would have wanted more from her character. They do sort of nerf her, but it is necessary. Towards the middle of it, but like fucking hell, I have not seen her in anything before.
No, me neither.
But geez, we got out of that, and I was like, she's got to win something for that.
I feel like she has to win the Oscar. That's incredible acting.
Unbelievable. It's like it might be my favorite performance of the year.
Yeah, I probably agree with that.
She's great. She's so good. Yeah, I don't have like loads to say in terms of like feeling or like story wise, because like it's just like so much going on.
Yeah, so dense.
Yeah, I would like to watch it again at some point.
Yeah, same. I really enjoyed it. I'd definitely watch it again.
Probably not in the cinema. If they do like a nice 4K of this,
yeah,
I'll get the 4K. I'll set aside fucking an evening, I suppose, when I'm free. But yeah, it's not one to go into lightly.
No,
and I think a lot of people did in that theater. They were like, definitely. What the hell. Like, didn't you know what you were getting yourself into?
I'll split it up when I force Darcy to watch it, so she doesn't have to watch it in one chunk.
That might help. That might help a watch. I think
you'd love this movie.
It actually sounds really good, but
over 2 nights or something. Yeah.
And then split it up, and then you go pause it at this point, and then do that another two times.
Interesting cameos throughout as well. You've got Brendan Fraser shows up in it.
Bit jarring.
There's some cool people in this, isn't
bit
there?
Bit jarring to see him there.
John Lithgow's in it as well.
Yeah. I love that guy. Good.
Jack White has a random cameo at the end.
Jack White?
Yeah.
Scorsese himself.
I saw him, I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, Scorsese.
Oh, Marty comes in right at the end. That was good. Classic. I thought I quite liked that.
It's so sad.
Yeah. It's got a heart-wrenching ending.
Yeah.
Oh.
We saw this with Kai, and I think it's like the first time I've ever actually seen him cry at a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen him cry.
No, that would be quite the experience.
Yeah. I actually think it would throw me off so much.
It's really bleak, really horrible.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
One performance I really liked was Jesse Plemons, who sort of comes in as this FBI guy.
I love Jesse Plemons.
He was great.
He was great. It was nice to see him play a good guy for once.
Yeah, isn't he always
pretty much only
assholes?
Ever plays villains.
Yeah, sort of. You could argue he wasn't. He was playing not a good guy in like I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Yeah, no.
But that's quite an ambiguous sort of character. But in this, I thought he did like such a terrific job. And this is like, I think this was like just as the FBI was getting started. Mm-hmm. So like they were sort of working out how to do investigative work in quite the way that
we know they do now.
There's a lot of like things that sort of fall through the cracks and things that can't, mm-hmm. like he can't figure out or like don't get done because they're just starting out. But I found that all to be very interesting. And when he came in, I was like, oh, finally, something's getting done.
Finally, someone's here.
People need to stop dying. There was that one scene where Lily Gladstone, she goes to Washington and she like talks to the president or whatever. That was like horrendous. She was like, my family are being killed. They're being murdered and you have to do something about it. And he's like, I'll talk to some guy about it. And you're like, oh, fuck's sake. She like went all the way there and she's like so ill. Like, oh God, it's so horrible.
Yeah, she's got the diabetes.
Got the diabetes, yeah.
Okay.
Among other things, perhaps. Who knows? Yeah, cool. do you want to rate this then?
Yeah, sure.
Just overall, yeah, cool. What are we going to do it out of? Diabetes.
Okay. This is probably my favourite film of the year. I'm a huge Scorsese movie fan.
You're a huge,
I'm a huge Scorsese movie.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of his, so I'll watch anything he does, and it's pretty much always great. And I say this is probably one of his best, to be honest. Don't know how many more he's going to do, but if this was his last one, I feel like it'd be a very fitting close. I give it 10 diabeteses out of 10.
Totally agree. Yeah, I got out of this and I was like, man, that's like so, it was so good. It was like up there with Goodfellas. And like The Wolf of Wall Street for me.
Yeah, it's like, right up there.
It's fucking good. It's fucking good. I loved it. And it just like relieves you. Like any movie that can sort of leave me going, oh, fuck. Oh, that's a good movie. Yeah, 10 diabetes out of 10. Thank you, Martin. Loved it so much. One of the ones of the year.
Yeah. I don't know why I looked at you like you're about to rate it.
Cool.
Mine is pending.
Okay.
Pending, talking about...
And you may never know.
Pending. You want to introduce Bottoms, Darcy?
No, not really, actually.
Okay. Bottoms is a movie from this year. Came out very recently. Directed by Emma Seligman, who did Shiva Baby, and this is like a comedy movie about some lesbians who start a fight club to get laid.
That they do.
Yeah, it's one of those me and Chris saw in the cinema, and it was like one of the funniest movies of the year. It's like so goddamn good. I had like such a good time with this. It's like so rare to see just a straight up comedy in the cinema that's like this good. But I think I really love Shiva Baby. I think that's like such a fantastic movie. And that has its comedy to it, but it also is like unbelievably tense. There's nothing like that here. It's not so much like a bottle movie. It's like they're going everywhere. But I think that the premise of it is like super solid. And that's apart from the fact that it's from Emma Seligman. I was like, the whole year we'd been like, when the hell are we getting this movie? God damn it. But we finally got it. I had a great time. What do we all think?
Yeah, I loved it. It's like, I really love when you get like a really great studio comedy, because studio comedies just generally are quite rare nowadays.
Yeah.
So I love just seeing them taking a chance on this small indie director, giving a big budget, big cast, great soundtrack. Like clearly a lot of time and money was spent into this.
It felt like her movie.
Yeah.
It felt like something she wanted to make. She wrote it along with Rachel Sennett, I'm pretty sure. Who's like, they're such great writers, they're such good collaborators. Obviously, Rachel Sennett was in Shiver Baby. I think they worked super, super well together. I'm just going to look up the crew. What did you think of it, Darcy? Yeah, you watched it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I did like it.
Yeah.
I did find that like at times that I found it more obnoxious than funny, but it doesn't mean I didn't like it, because I remember I think Kai had really similar thoughts in the fact that he thought it was like almost trying too hard to be funny, and in parts I did think that as well. I find it really, really annoying, but when it's not really annoying, it was really like wholesome and sweet and quite funny. I gelled with it quite a lot, but I couldn't quite get past like certain parts of it where I thought, okay, like you know.
It's the thing with comedy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, because it's completely subjective. Like, I could totally understand why you guys would like it, because it is actually a really, like, cool film. Like, you don't see films like this as much now, where it's just kind of like, I don't know, it was just fun, wasn't it? Like, I don't know, like, some films are too serious now, and I was just like, oh, this is a film about some fucking Fight Club with a bunch of lesbians, man. It was
that's mad. Yeah,
slapping. The premise is just insane. Yeah, like, and those kind of parts I did really enjoy. So it was kind of like, I think if I watched it again, I'd probably like it a bit more. I do think it's kind of, if I'm being honest, I felt like I needed to watch it with other people. I felt like watching it on my own was like, I'm just sitting here like having the occasional giggle to myself and looking around like, oh yeah, I'm here by myself. Like, no one else is like with me on this one. But I was like, oh yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'd really love to watch it again, all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what? We probably could.
Just a good group movie.
Oh, this would be a good stoner movie.
Yeah.
I think. I feel like this would be
Bodies.
Is that one of their movie, or is that what's her name's in it?
It's just.
Oh God!
It's like quite similar. Yeah. Bill.
They're quite similar in tone.
Yeah, they are, aren't they?
Yeah, it was interesting seeing our crowd reacting to the movie.
Oh, what, it so, how
like,
was it?
I saw four people walk out. It wasn't very busy.
Okay.
There was like three or four people behind us that were basically laughing at everything we were laughing at, which was like every single joke.
Yeah.
But then there was complete silence from everyone else.
See, that's again, it's a subjective matter of it all.
Distinct style of comedy as well.
I do feel like you either think it's funny or you don't think it's funny at all.
Handled any other way, it would have pissed me off.
Yeah.
But because they're so fucking good at writing this, and the acting is like on point, they know what they're making. I don't expect it to win any awards or whatever, but I appreciate what it was and as an experience.
I felt like it was exactly what it was meant to be. Right, if you think about the premise of it, it is exactly how it was supposed to be. I feel I feel like it wouldn't work in any other setting.
I really loved Ayo Edebiri in the movie.
Yeah,
Josie. She was probably my favorite. Characters, Bear.
She's good.
Yeah, she's great in The Bear, but this is such a different character. For like in The Bear, she's not quite as confident. She's quite shy and nervous, whereas this is a much more confident, a lot more comedic performance.
They're also playing young girl.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be like 17 or something. 16, 17 year old.
Yeah, high school, isn't it? Yeah.
Don't buy it.
Oh, 100% not, no.
But I think that was like part of the comedy.
Yeah.
And especially when they were like, nobody likes us because we're like ugly and untalented and lesbians. They don't hate us because we're lesbians, they hate us because we're ugly and untalented. And it's like, you've seen these girls, they're like really good looking. But that added to the comedy, I think, that made it a bit funnier. Because no one's seriously like, oh yeah, Rachel Sennett and Ayo Edebiri. They're like, no thanks. Like, come on.
No, but there's always going to be that one person that will be like, but she's not whoever that... You know that girl that she was crushing on? Like, that's the type of like stereotypical like high school like attractiveness that I was like thinking of. But like, yeah, it's no means to say if either of them came up to me and I wasn't with Chris, I'd be like... But you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, because they're like,
I don't know,
not as attractive, it immediately like, makes them like not.
Just because they're playing like, average sort of Joes.
Yeah, the thing is, I didn't want to say average because they're not really average either. Like, they're above average, but they're not like smoking hot like whoever the fuck that girl was.
I don't know. I think the movie knows that.
No, but that's what I mean. Yeah,
it's
like,
very self-aware, I think.
You can't. Because if you had two actual, like... Sorry, this was really bad.
You had two actual Argos.
You can't do it, can you? It doesn't work. It's not... Because it's almost too real then. You almost feel bad for them rather than being like...
I like that there was a lot of points in this movie where it felt like they were trying to parody like other high school movies.
Mm.
Just felt that very like meta and self-aware about what it was in terms of being that sort of thing.
It felt very like Mean Girls to me in certain aspects, the way it was kind of like the school shots and stuff, but like nothing like actually about the story, because it's really not even close.
No, they're like, so like in classic high school comedies, you'll get like it'll look sort of the same as like every other high school movie.
Yeah, and like, a bit
people,
like high school yeah, musical. Yeah.
They go to school and like people shove people into lockers and
yeah, stereotypical
like, you just go around
shit,
and it looks like High School Musical or whatever. But in this, I think they did very well to be quite smart about how they portrayed the school. It's very heightened. Everything is not taking itself seriously whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's like weird fucking posters. Like the jocks, the footballers, they're like so over the top and like quite homoerotic with each other. And
they,
like
I
the
like
posters
that,
are like, it's all about the footballers and like how like amazing the footballers are. And it's like, it's so dumb. But that's where the comedy comes from. I think that was like so funny.
It was like that satire that I imagine like Glee would do if like someone made Glee into like a full length movie.
Weirdly reminded me a lot of Glee.
No, but it has that sort of like, yeah, like there's such an importance on like varsity and you know what I mean? Like all the stupid shit that like Glee would do. I'm like, yeah, this this movie does that.
There was like a lot of jokes that remind me of something that would be on Glee, and then there were like a lot of them were like some of the more edgy ones. Like Glee has a lot of random out of pocket, like super, super edgy, dark jokes. They kind of reminded me of them.
Yeah, but there was like that one part where like, what's her name? Was like, let's make a pipe bomb. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, like genuinely just like, I was looking down or drawing or writing or something. And I looked up and I went, what the fuck?
Then there's the bit, probably the bit that made me laugh the most when the teacher was talking about the student that doesn't come to class and they're like, oh, he killed himself a few years ago or something.
Oh, at the beginning of the year.
And he's like, sure he did. Sure.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. It I mean, it's a 15 as well, so you can do pretty much whatever you want with it. It's like, it's also very violent and gory and bloody. And I didn't expect it to take that turn, but it does. I'm like, fair enough. I really like that.
I do like the random like sort of inclusion of this guy, you can't do that to him. He's allergic to orange juice. So I'm like, what do you mean you're allergic to pineapple juice? What does that even
That's
mean?
Used so well.
I actually do like how they went with that.
Like final sequence of them going after the other football team was actually like really tense.
Yeah, I found that really stressful.
It was
actually
so good.
I was watching it and I thought, I actually can't watch this right now.
I'm actually worried for these characters. You really feel like the actual pressure of it.
It was so ridiculous.
If there was like a one criticism, I feel like I'm over the plots that are like, these characters did this and they lied to do it, and the second that low point comes from the reveal of the lie.
Revealed.
Oh, what were that poor girl gets beaten the shit out of? That was mental.
That was mad.
Actually,
that was so
mental.
Good.
I just
so
thought,
funny.
They're just gonna kill her. They're just not gonna stop until she's dead. Like, they're just going.
And it could happen, because this is the kind of movie that would do that.
Yeah, like I do you know what? I was really waiting for it. I just
nobody fucking dies in a High School Musical. No High School Movie, even. Or in a High School Musical.
Not a High School Musical.
No one gets beat the shit out of and just dies right there in front of everyone. Because it's so like weird and heightened. They have free reign to do whatever the fuck they want with it. And like, I think they do so well with it overall. I think like anything Emma Seligman does, I'm just like so up for. She's one of the ones working today.
She is great. Yeah.
She's good. She is good. Give me more of her stuff.
I feel like we got quite a lot of those at the moment who've only, like, directors Starting who are quite out. New, who've only got two or three movies who are just putting out insane stuff.
Yeah.
Who did
Bodies? It was like Rain. Someone Rain.
Yeah.
Fucking Helena Rain.
Yeah.
Her and the other one.
People kind of need some fresh ideas, though. Like, Hollywood's been around for a long time now. Most movies have kind of been done. I like these
And you could
things.
Argue this one's kind of been done.
It has.
But it knows what it is.
Yeah.
It knows it's like just Fight Club, but with lesbians.
Exactly. But that's how you run with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of, what the fuck are we getting now? I saw a trailer for the other day.
Mean Girls.
Tina Fey's remaking Mean Girls, but in the new age. And I cannot fucking stand that kind of thing.
Why would she do that?
Why do you need to ruin a classic? Yeah. I literally do not know.
I kind of feel like this is it's kind of like an unoriginal story told originally, I think.
This is what I'm just mad at Tina Fey more than anything else.
We're mad at you, Tina.
I'm very mad. Because I like these sort of fresh takes on things rather than being like, let's take this old thing that was amazing.
Mm. We're in that age now.
Yeah, I'm very annoyed about it, I must say. Am I that old now that they can reboot Mean Girls? Apparently so.
You just got to ignore that and just go and watch the movies that are being a bit more original with what they're putting
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to see it just based on the fact that I...
Yeah,
so let's get some more OG content out here.
And more bottoms. And then you can get bottoms in seats.
Yeah, more bottoms that...
Your bottoms movie.
May not be as loud.
I think this has done pretty well from what I've heard.
What, the movie?
Yeah, no, I don't know about how it's done over here, but I'm pretty sure it did quite well in America.
Well, we didn't fucking get it for like a year after America got it.
If it goes well in America, it's pretty much a shoo-in because that place is huge. And if it does well there, it'll be fine. Mm. So that's all we need.
Rachel Sennett are like way bigger in America than they are here.
So you know what? It's fine. I'm relying on America to make cinema happen over here.
Make cinema happen.
Mm. Make cinema happen again. That's going to be my slogan.
Ratings happen. What are we going to rate this one out of? Pineapple juice.
Okay. Yeah, I love this. It's probably the best comedy of the year. Definitely going to be one that's high up on the end of year list, I think. Had a great time with it, and I'll probably watch it again soon because I feel like it's just one of those. It's so easy to watch. You can probably watch it over and over again. I think I'll give it 9 pineapple juices out of 10.
Yeah. Best comedy of the year. Maybe on par with Past Lives because of how funny that was.
That was actually quite funny.
More devastating than funny, I would say.
Yeah.
10 pineapple juices out of 10. Fucking loved it.
I'm open to watching it again. Yeah, definitely with people. So for now, I'm going to give it 7 pineapple juices out of 10.
Totally. Give it a nice 4K release, please. I don't know. I doubt it'll even get a release.
Yeah. Probably not.
Oh, dear. Right, go on then.
Back out for the brand new track.
It's up to you,
Chris.
Now.
Crack.
It's all up to you, Chris.
Okay, so every 10 episodes, we talk about a show. This time, it was my time to pick a show.
Mm.
I picked Cowboy Bebop from 1998, an anime that ran for 26 episodes and had a movie. One of my favourite shows, maybe even my favourite show of all time. The show's basically just about set in the year 2071 in this place in the Intersolar System Police. They've set up this contract system for criminals so registered bounty hunters can go after them and get a reward. And the show basically just follows a group of bounty hunters on this ship called the Bebop going on adventures, going after bounties.
The Bebop. Yeah.
The Bebop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Obviously, it's a very famous one.
Yeah.
Everyone knows about Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, it's like their gateway anime.
Yeah.
This is like the first anime show I properly watched and got into.
Yeah,
Yu-Gi-Oh as a kid.
You can tell because it's like you ever go on like ASOS and you see like the graphic t-shirts and it's always like Dragon Ball Z, Cowboy Bebop.
Well, I think it's very, very accessible. I think creator of it was heavily inspired by Western media.
Mm.
And I think because of that, it's probably like the most accessible anime. It was like the first show I watched that really got me into it.
I'll be honest, I'd never even heard of it until I met you.
Whoa.
I didn't even know about it. But that is, I'm normally like, what do we call, I'm a slice of life anime person. I like watching the ones where like the little girls have like pink hair and they go to school and they like do maths.
You watch this and you're like, where's the little girl with the pink hair? Where is she?
So this is a bit.
Yeah.
Bit different.
Yeah, whereas I'm in stuff like this and Full Metal Alchemist and Death Note and shit.
I've not seen any of them. Like, that is legit. It's not... Like, I was, like, watching Chobits and stuff, you know, like the AI robot ladies and stuff. And weird stuff. Not this.
Yeah, this isn't, like, totally out of my wheelhouse. I've done a couple of animes.
Animes?
But, yeah. Okay. So, surface level thought, I guess. Start this off. I thought it was like really fantastic. Like,
yeah,
it maybe takes a little bit to get into it, but it's always like consistently good. And by the end of it, I was like, come on. And I was like, really invested in it. And I think they do such a good job with like making you care about these characters and making you understand like whenever they like went into the backstories, I was like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. Yeah. Like, because you'd sort of, you're coming at them from the beginning, from a point where like a lot of shit has already happened to them. So you wonder why they're in this situation, or like why, what drove them to be bounty hunters. So as the series goes on, I do think they eke out the backstories of the, all these characters like very neatly and very well. So I enjoyed whenever they could cut back to like the past of the guys.
Yeah, and a lot of them are like really heartbreaking as well.
Yeah. When like, it got like dark, I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought every episode was quite dark, to be honest. Like, but yeah, you know, past, like, that, past like the first four, I was like, oh my God. That was sad.
Yeah, for me, every time I watched it, I really liked the first like four episodes, but episode five, which is like one of my favorite episodes of the show, I think from that point on, that's where I get really hooked into it.
Uh-huh, yeah. I'm like on the first four being like, when are these characters going to come in?
And do
when,
the thing.
When like the, you see the all the photo, all the caps, screen caps from it, you're like, I know there are more characters in this. I know there are. When are they going to come in and sort of be here? And that all happens, I suppose, in... Yeah, I got like a note for episode four that says, hot girl joins the crew. Nice. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, nice.
What, Faye?
Yeah, Faye. Faye Valentine.
Yeah. I did have a crush on her as a teenager.
Well, of course you did. Like,
I have a crush on her now.
Yeah, like, I was making this observation where I was like, what is it with like the Japanese like anime like mindset of like always making these girls with like the badunka dunka jugs, man?
They had
like
a lot of fun animating
it is mad. Like the movements on that thing, it was like its own life form. It was madness.
You ever seen you ever seen like a anime titty compilation video? Those are so fucking funny.
I bet hers were on there. Like, my God, man, yeah. My God. Like, she's such a well done character though, because she's like she's like, I don't know, you look at her at surface level, you're like, oh yeah, she's like hot with the badonka donkers, but like she's
also just
she's
like a really
ass.
Fucking
yeah,
well
like,
written character.
Yeah,
and
yeah, she's
you
so
wanna,
fleshed
you
out,
isn't
she?
Be entertained, like interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah, her story is like especially sad. Yeah. Like,
oh, that what with that, the videotape.
Yeah, that episode always makes me cry.
That's
it's
the thing.
So sad.
I've gotten to this point where Chris is like, I know I'm gonna cry. So I like almost like subconsciously go, I will not, Nen. And then I just hear Chris in the corner going, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Happened actually earlier. We finished it earlier and I was like, you're right, mate. Didn't even talk to me. Didn't even speak to me. Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah. Going to bed.
I did feel like that. That last episode fucked me up.
No, that last episode was actually horrific, to be fair.
The very last one.
Yeah, the very, very last one.
It's horrible, isn't it? Jesus Christ. So, like, the credits came on, I was like... Wait,
we just
what?
Sat and watched it. We just watched it to the end. Like, we just, like, the things we had to turn the subtitles off as well because the subtitles
shit.
For the dub are, yeah, they're bad
yeah,
and they're
so,
out
yeah,
of time.
Yeah, I watched the English dub.
We took off the subtitles at one point because we were like, should I, what, we'd rather just turn up the volume and just watch it without the subtitles
yeah,
on
I
it.
Yeah, I almost never watch, like, English dubs of anime anymore, but this is, like, for me, I've seen both versions and I think this is the better version.
Yeah.
I think the creator even prefers the English dub as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say
I liked it.
I think all the acting's really great.
The acting is great. They are iconic characters. And like everyone's doing like terrific jobs for the voices.
Especially Ayn. He's the best one.
Ayn's on it. He knows what he's about.
He's balking all the time.
He's great. I love that episode where it's just Ed and Ayn doing like a little side quest where everybody's
going
like
with the mushroom.
Completely fucked up on mushrooms.
Yeah.
Just like get embroiled in this weird fucking
mushroom fest
where this guy has a bunch of mushrooms and they're like on a train or something. I'm like, whoa, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's one of my favourite episodes. It's just so insane, but it's just so much fun.
It seems hilarious. Very like in character for like a Ed and Ayn episode though, to be honest.
What's good about like serialised shows like this is you can do like these fucking insane batshit episodes that are so funny, but also you could do the episode where we see what happened to Faye in her origins and it's like horrendous and heartbreaking.
I actually thought for a second Max was referring to the beautiful app Serialized where everything's in the wrong order and it's a bull
yeah,
length to mark.
That's
yeah.
You know,
not that I
it
give
pretty
a fuck
fast
because I don't use it, but
no, I had a good time with that episode. One of the ones that like really stood out to me was that one with that fat guy, Pierre Lafou.
Oh, yeah.
What the clown one?
What the fuck?
That's probably my favourite episode.
No, absolutely the so fuck
terrifying.
Not. Absolutely
horrible.
Not. No. Chris was like, I'm going to warn you now. There's a fucking creepy clown. And I was like, absolutely the fuck not. And he's even worse than I thought he was going to be. Because
like,
he doesn't
shows
even
up
and, like
these guys are like, what the fuck? He's like, hello, gentlemen. I'm here to end your lives. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, crazy.
He comes with a smile and he leaves with a smile. And I'm like, that is horrible.
Yeah,
it's absolutely nightmare feel.
It's like such a weird fucking... That was such a good character. They only use him for one episode. It's probably as much as I could take of him.
But like, oh, yeah, I don't think you could have him.
He was like so well used. And they find out that he had like his mind was regressing into that of a child. So as the episode like went further on and they were like battling it out in a funfair or whatever, the end where like he's defeated was like disturbing.
Yeah, it's
like,
really creepy.
He's like crying for his mummy.
Oh, because like, he gets stabbed in the shin or
like,
yeah, that was pretty gross.
Fucking sick. So cool.
Oh, it just makes me yeah, that's how I feel about that.
One of the things I really love about this show is that all the characters are just so like distinct, so like well developed. They're all really, really lovable, and like anytime they have like their own solo episodes, it's always just so much fun just to spend time with a character.
Yeah, super well fleshed out.
You don't get mad about it either. Like, you know, you're watching a show and then it will like center on another character that you either didn't really care about or like you don't like. And you're like, oh, now I've got to sit through an episode and watch this. But you don't feel like that with this.
Yeah, the first season of Torchwood I just watched is very much like
that. Yeah, like, you just don't want to watch it. You're like, ugh. Got to slog through that.
It's good. Yeah, they can ice a couple of characters and just focus on one of them. And it's still like as good as it would be if they were all
together.
Yeah. There was that one with like the fridge that had like a weird, like that was one of my favorite episodes. It was like the bottle episode on the Bebop where like there's this thing crawling through the pipes and like Spike's like, oh fuck, I gotta get this like venom sort of thing that's like this symbiote thing that's like going into my guys and like taking them out one by one. That was fucked up. And like right at the end, burst out laughing when he was like, it happened. that happened because I left a lobster in the fridge and then forgot about it for a year. And this fucking symbiote thing just developed. And he has to like jettison the fridge because of it. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, like Chris was like, oh, so there's this really sick episode. Basically, Alien.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. And I was like, this is literally Alien.
Like, yeah, it is. Yeah. It's like Alien, the thing sort of thing.
Yeah, it was quite entertaining.
Sort of like Life, you know, the classic hit movie starring Ryan Reynolds. You guys know that movie?
No.
I know it, but I've not seen it.
Stuff.
Well,
stuff. I think like the animation is like so slick as well.
It
like,
is, yeah.
The combat, all the combat stuff they're doing is like awesome. It
so
looks like
fun.
So smooth and like just really well choreographed and well done. And like all the places they go to look so nice. They go to a lot of like varied places, and because they're going to like different planets, you always like kind of feel like they're quite distinct. And it's they go to Earth sometimes, and it's like they're not really supposed to be there because it's like fucked up and desolate.
Yeah, I was gonna say it looked like something out of WALL-E. Like you know, like they're we're on Earth, and I'm like, that's Earth. Like,
we shouldn't be here. It's disgusting here. Oh no!
Fucking hideous. It.
There's one. There's to get around like copyright law. There's in one episode they have like a beef eater gym, but instead of beef eater, it says boof eater.
I didn't even notice that.
That got to me. That was funny.
That's so good.
I like how a lot of the like random side characters are clearly like modeled after like famous people.
Yeah,
like there was one episode where Darcy was like, "Oh my god, it's Woody Allen,"
and then then Chris went, "Oh, it could be." And then there's like a scene, like literally right after, where he's like jetting out of this cafe, and it's called Woody's, and he went, "That's definitely meant to be Woody Allen."
Yeah, there's like quite a few.
He sounded like Woody Allen as well.
That's fun.
It was fun.
I like that. There was an episode where like he's got to take down a kid. An evil child.
That one's insane.
That was fucked up. Like right at the end, that got me. Is he like, he turned into an old man? Like he had been living for so long and he was like, here, take this bullet and it's going to like turn you into your real age. It was like that like, episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Was
like, I was thinking of like Dorian Gray or something. Yeah.
And he like he very quickly turns into an old man. It's like, disgusting. Really fucking good animation on that as well. It was like,
it has the
capacity to really gross you out in a lot of what it does as well. Mm. It's not holding back.
No, it was pretty minging.
It was pretty minging.
Buzz. I thought Chris was so preoccupied over there.
I was trying to get out of the episode list out.
Oh.
Yeah. Like in episode 8, they like, the first thing they do is take down these guys called Louie, Huey, and Dewey.
Yeah.
Great.
I think that was one of the things Chris said before we even watched it. He was like, yeah, they got, I mean, like DuckTales. And I was like, never seen it.
No, DuckTales? I don't know DuckTales either, to be fair.
Nah, probably.
But it felt, you know, for like 1998, it felt quite progressive in a lot of what it was showing. And like a lot of ideas that feel like they might have been taboo back in the day, but is it now it's just like commonplace. But it's, it feels like, because I know that I'm watching a 1998 show, it feels very, very ahead of its time.
Yeah, that's the thing about hindsight, isn't it? Yeah.
Because it's like set in like 2171 or something. If it feels like, that would probably, these things would probably be very commonplace.
Same-sex
relationships and like stuff like that. You know, there was like a scene where like Faye barges in on two guys just fucking. And that was just it. Like, okay.
Oh, yeah. I remember just kind of going, okay.
I think one of my favorite things throughout the series is the like really long arc with Spike and Vicious, like his old like colleague. There's like 5 episodes dedicated to them, and every single one of them is insane and develops this really like tragic backstory super well.
Those were the ones where I was like feeling down.
Yeah.
Like, oh, for fuck's
sake. I think it's because you liked so many of the episodes. Spike is almost like a comic relief. Like he's such a like upbeat, happy character that you're seeing all this horrible stuff happen to him. It's like just really upsetting.
Yeah. Whenever we can like meet his match, the stakes are like so much higher. And that's when you're like, oh, not this character I like.
Yeah.
It feels like he can actually die. That ending took me for a fucking loop. We want to talk about the ending.
Oh, what, the very, very end?
The very end.
Chris was like, "You don't worry, mate. This is it. This is awful." And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I did not expect that to happen, but it feels like it should have.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't want like to die, but no. I felt like that was probably,
if it was very,
you know,
like,
it was the way, right?
I kind of bypassed being like emotional for the character and just sort of sat there in shock because I did not expect it to go that way at all.
Yeah,
I was like, what happens in the movie then?
Is the movie meant to be before or in between? Yes. I remember you
said it's like in between episode 22 and 23 or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Bit weird. Sure.
Yeah,
right. Fine.
Makes
whatever.
Sense, I guess.
But I thought, good ending, but also, what the fuck happens to the rest of these guys?
I know. I felt a little bit dissatisfied, but.
Yeah, ever so slightly. I was like, well.
That's the thing, that was an afterthought for me. I didn't even think about it until you just said it just
now. I kind of like not really knowing.
I didn't think about it at all.
I don't know. I think I would have liked a bit more of a conclusion with those characters, who I just like really enjoyed the whole time, and like to then be like, we're focusing on Spike.
That's
and
you
Spike
get
is the main character,
and
like this is his ending, but you don't get to see the rest of the other guys' endings. I feel like maybe that'll sit better with me on a rewatch.
Well, was it ever supposed to be like continued or anything, or was that like secular thing? It was always meant to be one.
Well, the creator has said that he's considered doing a follow up, apparently he's always considering it and like setting it afterwards where Spike's actually not died, he survived.
To be fair,
bad idea.
I don't think he should do it, but there is a realm of possibility where he might not have died. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that he could have not died.
Only be okay if they did more episodes of it was like what they did with the movie, where it's like kind of set in the middle of it, like when all the characters leave.
I think that might be the only way.
But even then, I kind of wouldn't want him to do that in case
it doesn't even work.
It feels like such a lightning in a bottle type of thing.
Mm. Yeah.
If it's very condensed. And it's so long ago. You don't need to keep dragging these things back.
This is
I know they made like a Netflix show.
Everyone hated it. It was god awful.
I was like going through the episode synopsis of them, and like sounds like it's all like original stories.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's fine.
You would prefer that probably.
Yeah.
If you were going to watch that,
that they redo, but most of it's all original stories.
Well, yeah, I think the plot is like loosely the same, like, you know, with Spike and Vision. You know what I mean? Like it's loosely based on how it was, but not.
There was like a manga series that came out a few years after the show. I read that. That was actually pretty good.
Yeah,
I'd consider reading that. I'm much more into like reading that, but that's because they're small.
Yeah,
there's pictures in it, and I love pictures because I'm like 5 years old.
Yeah,
I'm not watching this. They nerfed the cleavage.
Yeah, I know.
I want more Bazunga,
no point.
Bazunga Juggo.
Yeah, they nerfed it.
At least
I'm
you get a real life corgi in it.
Oh, a real life corgi. Brilliant. I can see a real life corgi in fucking real life, man. I don't need to watch a Netflix show up. What do you mean, where? They're out in the streets.
Yeah.
They're out there.
I'm going to go corgi spotting now. Just for that.
Okay. I think my favourite thing about this show is probably the music, all of which is just insane. Like some of the best music ever written for. Like media, I think.
Yeah, I've got that fucking you know that bit in the fucking theme.
The theme song.
That bit is great. In my head.
It's probably
all
like my favourite TV show theme. Mm. I love it, it's so good.
It reminds me of something else and I can't get it out. And that's when you know it's good. If it's been stuck in my head, well, actually I say that. The Orange is the New Black one gets stuck in my head and that one's fucking atrocious. So it's a measure of it's great or it's awful. And this
one's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was really cool. Every time it goes, you're like,
it's just like so diverse as well. There's just so many different sounds. Although the bulk of it is jazz, every once in a while you get like a weird techno song or like an indie rock song or something going on.
Like Western inspired, like music.
Yeah, I don't know how I felt about like the strange like indie music playing because it just felt.
I think it works.
I don't know. I don't like it, but I think it's because. I don't know, it just feels dated, actually. I don't like it very much.
Yeah. I don't know, other than that,
I can't complain about the music otherwise. Because it only happens like two or three times anyway.
They do like these sort of break transitions as well, when there's like a break.
Yeah.
Like Cowboy Bebop, and those are all like really well stylized. I enjoyed a lot of those because they're all quite different
every time.
They're
cool little cards, time cards. They're cool.
Yeah, they're quite creative, like...
I like trying to read them.
How
and
they managed to do like one for pretty much like four an episode.
Yeah, those were great.
Mm.
I was thinking of you, Darcy. Although happening, I was like, Darcy likes a good graphic.
Yeah, I love a good graphic. No, I did.
There's one thing you know about Darcy is that she likes a good graphic.
I did. I enjoyed it quite a lot. Like often at times, I'll be trying to read it, and there'll be like spelling errors in it and stuff because a lot of it is like English that's like written in the back, and I'm like, that's spelt wrong, but it looks so good, like. I'm just like reading it and taking it in, and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it because it has a natural break in it. So if you need like a wee, you can just go, here we go. This is the signal to where I'm going to go now. Not that I ever really.
I feel like Edward was a character who had the potential to be quite annoying, but like I enjoyed where they took her character.
Yeah.
Do you know what I thought the same? I was actually quite worried about it because when she first came in, I was like, oh my.
Because it's like nine episodes in, they've already established this dynamic with the three guys already.
I thought it was five episodes. Oh, man.
No, she came in on the ninth. And,
okay.
Yeah. I do like how she kind of just goes, oh, they left me, but fuck you. So she like hacks the Bebop and like. Basically forces herself upon them.
Yeah, I thought that was quite funny.
Yeah, I love her. She's probably my favourite character in this show.
She is very, very,
but
like,
she is,
closer,
like, one of those where she could easily be really annoying. Like, she's, like, really is on the line between being, obnoxious and you can't stand her to, like, being really lovable.
Yeah, they kind of utilise her in a good way because you only see her for, like, snippets at a time, which is what works, right? Because, like, if she was on the screen constantly, I think it would actually drive you bananas.
And she does a lot of cool shit.
She does a lot of cool shit. And so does Ayn. When Ayn hacks into that fucking mainframe and I thought it was Ed and just like, do you see it? Ayn's hacking into the mainframe. And I was like, oh my God.
That was sick.
That is sick.
So sick. Yeah. I loved it when Ayn hacked into the mainframe.
It was sick.
My favourite part.
Ayn liked it.
I love that episode where like they're going after this chess master
what the
Edward's
fuck?
Playing digital chess with.
Oh, yeah, that was horrible.
And then
wasn't
he finally wins and then dies. It's insane.
I actually thought that was really sad. I actually was like, what the fuck?
This is just a really sad show.
Like, every now and again, you just hear me go, aw. Because I'm like, oh, what the fuck? Almost every episode, I was making some sort of like, huh?
Like, there was that episode with that guy that really wanted to be a bounty hunter and join the Bebop.
Yeah.
What?
Which one was that?
Yeah, what?
No, where he's like, it's all about him and his girlfriend and he gets shot at the end.
Nah, sorry.
And his girlfriend's like blind and he has to go tell her that he died.
That was his sister?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, I ain't got the capacity.
I remember the blind sister. That was sad. Yeah. That was sad.
Too many sad things happen in this show.
He's like, teach me your move, Spike. He's like, I'll teach you this one move about how to completely fuck a guy up and like throw him over your shoulder. And he's like, I'm going to remember that, Spike. And he does it at the end and it comes all full circle. And he's like, I did it. And he's like, oh, I got shot. No.
Yeah, it's so sad.
It's sad.
Fuck that.
it's upsetting.
Right. It's just not right.
I also found Ed and Ein's like exit quite sad.
Yeah.
Remember the first time I watched it, it just destroyed me.
You don't like it?
Okay. No, I don't like when Ein leaves.
That Ein left.
Yeah.
And then he cried when he did it.
I didn't cry.
No, he cried.
Oh. Oh, no! Do you know what? I was happily scrolling on my phone because I knew that it would get me sad. So I'm glad I missed that. Thank you very much. And thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. Is it the, again, more tragic backstory with Ed's character, who's like an orphan from Earth, and then like she was like living in the dirt alone.
Yeah.
Whose dad like left her in a daycare and forgot about her.
Yeah. And then he shows up again and she's like, I'm your child. And he's like, you're my child, I'm your dad. And he's like, oh, but I don't worry about that because I've got to go off and do something else actually. And it's like, oh, but you left her again, you bastard. It's so sad.
Yeah, that's sad.
Although there's like something to these like found family dynamics, I think, where they find each other and you're like, this is the group.
Yeah.
This is the core group. Don't let anything fucking happen to these guys.
Yeah.
I never want them to leave each other. And like whenever they do, I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. You tangled a dream and thrown it all away. It's so sad.
It is sad. I think that's why I love that the movie is set when it is, like,
yeah.
With all the characters together interacting.
Yeah, it's like at their peak, the movie is like now, and they're all together and sort of doing the thing. Yeah. I had a good time with that television episode where, like, that guy who they found out was in a coma and he'd, like, projected himself as an old man and, like, taking control of people
through
the power of television. I think that was, like, such a concise commentary on. Especially like at the time in 98, it was just like people addicted to television. And we know now it's like so much worse with like smartphones and shit like that. So it almost feels a bit tame in comparison to what we're used to. But I did enjoy them like his like possession of it and like the sort of cult like aspect of how he was going about like indoctrinating people into his television cult. That was like crazy.
Yeah, one of my favourite episodes is the one where there's that guy who's like also a bounty hunter who's going after the same person that Spike is, and they have like a rivalry.
Mm, that was so much fun. He's just like on a horse the whole time. He like goes into a casino and he's on his horse.
Yeah, I think that's probably the funniest episode.
It's good. It is good.
Although that also has quite a sad ending.
Yeah, I know. What the hell?
Yeah, they don't fuck around.
They really don't.
It's not without its heart-wrenching things. Was that fucking 12 and 13 with that guy who was like, he comes in, and I think that was one with Vincent, what was the guy who's Spike's rival?
Vicious,
yeah. It was like, he comes in, and he's like, that was like another moment where I was like, oh, very very interesting for like 1998. He was like, oh my God, what, are you a man or a woman? He's like, I'm both, I'm neither. And it's like, whoa, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was sick.
That was sick. That was awesome. Jesus.
Also had some kahunas.
He had some, yeah, he had some nice tits, that guy.
Yeah.
He really did, didn't he? God damn.
God damn.
Yeah.
Anytime they show tits, I'm like, God damn. So they know what they're doing.
Yeah. What are they doing? God.
Faye in the red dress, episode 5. Fuck.
Yeah.
God damn. Insane stuff. Best character. She was my favorite character.
Yeah, I like her a lot. Yeah.
I love everything they do with her. She's like such an
she's cool.
An interesting one to follow. Mm. Nice.
Yeah, I don't know if I have much else to.
I don't have loads more to say, really.
I had a good time with it. I think it was one that I was like.
So fun, not fun.
Very pleasantly surprised by it. And like, I know it's like lauded as like one of the ones that you got to watch. But I never really got around to it for whatever reason, and so I'm very glad to have finally been able to watch it, and yeah. I think I would watch it again. It's one of those you sort of put on. It's quite light, but if you pay attention to it, it gives you more. And I really like that in a lot of the media that I consume.
Yeah, I think if you like this, I would recommend a couple of the other director shows. He did a show called Samurai Champloo, which is like a hip-hop samurai show, which is like very, very similar vibes to this.
Yeah.
And that's a really great show.
Very cool. Nice. Yeah, maybe I'll check that out. Okay. Oh, fuck, man. There's like such a sick quote from episode 25 is when Jet says to Spike, he's like, men only think about the past right before their death as if they're searching frantically for proof that they were alive. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, Spike said something almost as cool in the last episode.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not going there to die, I'm going there to see if I'm still alive.
Oh my god, yeah. It feeds right into that line. Oh, it's so good.
I was like, whoa.
Awesome. So great, right?
Awesome show.
You watched the movie as well. What did you think of that? The
movie's good. It is good. It maybe goes on a bit too long and it feels like it could have been set in an episode, although I do think they justify the need for a movie with what's happening, and like the villain is very interesting, and it feels a bit more like formidable than a lot of the guys that they're facing. it feels like it drags a little bit, and I don't have like too much to say on the movie. A lot of it was quite dull in terms of like the narrative. I have more fun with it in these 22-minute chunks. But, you know, I had a good time with the movie. It's not without its merit. And actually, I'd seen... one of the things that I wanted to check out the movie before was that I saw, like, a gift set online of, like, the... Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, but yeah. Only once.
There's, like,
so
a gift
really
set somewhere that I saw with, like, the guy who's, like... He like traps Faye and he like gets on top of her and like cuts her top off. I was like, I've got to watch this movie. Yeah, that's like, it's good enough. It does what it needs to do. Mm. It's not like a slog to get through. I don't want to watch it again, but it's fine for what it is.
Yeah, I think I'll watch it with Darcy at some point. We wanted to watch it before, but we barely managed to finish the show before recording.
Bless you. Yeah, it's good stuff. And I just enjoy being with these characters, and in this world, it's very well realized. We go on to ratings then for Cowboy Bebop. I'd give the movie like a 7 out of 10.
Cool.
If you,
what are we rating it out of?
You tell me. It's your show.
Corgis.
Okay. I feel like we've done that, but sure.
Yeah. Now we're doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love this show. I think I would probably go as far as to say it's my favourite show. It's just such a comforting watch, even though it is quite sad at points. It's kind of, I feel like you perfectly said it, where it's like quite easy to watch, but if you pay more attention, it's quite dark. Mm. But I always have such a great time with it. I've got the soundtrack album on vinyl as well. Darcy got me that years ago, so going to definitely give that a listen to at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Don't remember buying that.
Yeah, you did. It was a surprise. You didn't even tell me you were getting it. Yeah, I'll give it 10 corgis out of 10.
Such
love
a
it so
I
much.
I forgot that I bought it.
Yeah, it's a good one. It is a good one. I don't think every episode is like amazing.
No, there's a couple I'm a little bit hit or miss with.
Yeah, but as a package deal.
Yeah, you can get over it, I think.
Yeah, I think I could get over it. It's like so solid. And it's, you know, one of the ones that people are like, this one, for a reason. It's like, it's really, really accessible, and it would probably reward a rewatch. Love all the animation, love all the voice acting. Maybe I would go back to it again and watch the Japanese.
Yeah, the Japanese one is still really good, to be fair.
Perhaps I would do that. Not for a while. I had a good time as I was watching this. did it over like a month or so. I think that's a good way to do it. I like sort of eking it out like that.
Yeah, we did it in like a week.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think that would have spoiled it a little bit for me. But yeah, I had just like really fantastic stuff. Probably one of my favorite shows now. Nice. I'm going to give it 10 I'm the Corgis out of 10. I love it. Yeah.
Did you forget we rate the shows again?
Well, it's just we only watched it like an hour ago, so yeah. I need to...
You really cut it close.
Yeah, we really did. 8 Corgis out of 10 could bump up.
Yeah.
Could bump down. Probably won't.
Very, very yeah.
I think we watched the first like 5 or 6 episodes once, but that was when Darcy was still back in Luton, so we never got round to finishing it.
In Bumtown, yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely. That's that. All those and more. Next episode, we've already recorded it. I think we could probably say what we're doing just like as we would usually do it, though. Just fucking to say continuity.
Yeah.
No, we've already watched these movies, and we've so like the next episode is going to be a free for all. The beginning of the month in December, we're all going to pick a movie. It doesn't matter what you go for it, Chris. You tell us what yours was or is going to be.
Yeah, so my pick is the 1986 movie directed by the man, the myth, the legend himself, David Byrne. True Stories.
True Stories. Nice. Mm-hmm. My pick is a 2000 movie from Wong Kar Wai. This is In the Mood for Love. Sexy, sexy movie.
I now have to check whether my film was from 2000. I'm pretty sure it was. Okay. I pick Chicken Run, motherfuckers. Chicken Run.
We're on for a belter.
Mm.
True Stories, In the Mood for Love, and Chicken Run. Get them in your vision. We did it. You gotta do it too. Woo! Follow our social media. YouTube, The Sunday Movie Marathon. Instagram at Sunday Movie Pod. Letterboxd at Sunday MM, capital S, capital MM. Like, subscribe, rate the podcast 5 stars, and whatever the fuck you want to do. Kiss your loved ones. Any last words? See you later, Space Cowboy.